You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Now, before you reach for the newest diet or that weight loss pill for beach body season, there is a book you might want to read.
Food We Need to Talk, the science-based, humor-laced last word on eating, diet, and making peace with your body.
Now, that voice is Dr. Eddie Phillips. He is co-host of the podcast Food We Need to Talk. He and the other co-host, Una Jada, have written a book from it. They're both here in Studio 2. Eddie, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Una, great to see you.
So nice to see you, too.
It's great to have you both. So, been through the book, right? Lots to dive into here. But I think the big question, Una, I'll start with you. Why do we need to talk?
That is a great question. That is going to be in the sequel of our book. I'm kidding. So I think it's something that we don't talk about enough, which is kind of surprising because we spend every day of our lives eating food. We spend every day of our lives in our body. And yet most of the messages you're getting as you're growing up are often implicit from media or social media, things you're watching on the news, and sometimes they're even explicit from your parents or your friends. And as we get older, I just don't think it's something that we pay enough attention to. And a lot of the information we do get is misinformation from people who might not be as educated in the topic. And so I can't think of something more important to talk about than the thing that we spend our entire lives in, our bodies. So that is why we need to talk about it.
So, Eddie, I'll turn to you. It's been almost 4 years since the podcast came to life. And some of our listeners will say, wait a minute, this was a WBUR podcast, and originally it was back in 2019. What is it all about? Food We Need to Talk. At its heart, what's it about?
So I almost look at it like restoring the wisdom that we used to have at the dinner table. The choices were not so many before. It was, here's what's for dinner. And there was a protein, and there was hopefully some vegetables, and that's what we ate. Now there's just, you make hundreds of choices every day, kind of like what Eunice saying about what to eat, what not to eat, and there's just mass confusion. So at the end of it, we're trying to give information, but that's not sufficient. You also need to translate that into behaviors, making choices that, if there's nothing else you remember from this, that fit with what's most important to you.
So, okay. All right. So, Una, I'm going to turn to you for a second here. And it's interesting, Eddie, when you said restore the wisdom at the dinner table, because my first reaction was, I honestly don't ever remember there being wisdom at the dinner table. But that's not what I mean. What I mean, and Una, I'm going to turn to you on this. As I was reading this book, I was going on a personal journey, right? Because, you know, my unhealthy relationship with food, with body image, all of that probably started when I was 8, 9. Mm-hmm. So I really don't ever remember wisdom at the dinner table. And one of the things that's been in the podcast, but that it comes so forward in your voice, Una, in this book, is your journey. And your willingness to share the realities of your journey with your body, your sense of self, your relationship with food and all the messages in the world as a way to begin to connect then with the data and the reasonableness and the wisdom that Eddie's talking about here. So bring that forward a little bit.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, I really only thought of food as a way to manipulate my body weight. So I never really grew up overweight, but I always wanted to be skinnier. And I just remember all my friends saying the same things. Nobody really was overweight, but when prom was coming up, it was like we all would buy waist trainers, we would all go on a diet. And I think back to the fact that we were only like 13, 14, 15 and doing that, and that my friends were talking about diets, like even when they were little, their moms would be like, you really shouldn't have that second bowl of cereal. And so this messaging is so forceful from a young age, I think especially for women, but also for men. And that's really how I thought about food. And so when I got to college and there was nobody there to kind of monitor my behaviors anymore, I really fell into a lot of drastic undereating and drastic overexercising. And that was when I gained the most weight in my life because it led to so much binge eating because I was so constantly undereating. And so I think I hear the message a lot about, you know, we need to be careful about what we eat. And that's definitely true. But I also think that it's important to talk about the way that we feel about our bodies and why we are making the choices to eat what we eat. Because a lot of the time, making choices just to affect your weight leads to even worse health in the long run.
So we're here with Yuna Jada and Dr. Eddie Phillips. They are co-hosts of a podcast, Food We Need to Talk, that is now a book. And Eddie, I'm just going to give a peppering of some of the chapters for our listeners.
Please.
So the first chapter, From the Victorians to the Kardashians, A History of Dieting, Exercise the Magic Pill, Why All Diets Work Then Don't. We'll come back to this one in a little bit, from A Dad, Anorexia, A Conversation with My Daughter, all the way through to What Matters Most in Making Lasting Change. What I want to do here, Eddie, is a little bit of a lightning round of some of the data or ideas that you think are key that somebody finds when they engage in this book. So one key idea on dieting or piece of data on dieting, go.
We've been at it for a long time, and the styles keep on changing. If you think that what Yuna is talking about, what we're talking about, is new, read about dieting from the Victorians to the Kardashians. We've been at this for hundreds of years. It's nothing new. And even if you want to get slim now, just get ready, because the style may change. And slim thick has taken over. So we're at the whims of the society. Find out what's real for you that you want to do.
All right. And one key data piece on metabolism.
People don't understand it well enough. Reading and understanding just a bit more will allow you to become, as we call it in the book, you'll be a good detector of the nonsense that's out there, and understand that there's no magic tea. There's no magic potion. There's no waist trainer that's magically going to melt the pounds off of your belly. We know and understand metabolism. It is elegant. It is wonderful. It serves in our best interest. Just, engage with it a little bit, and then you'll maybe make a better choice about what to eat.
One concept that we think we know and don't, or didn't know and do, around the concept of obesity.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions around obesity is that the weight is always the issue. And a lot of the time what we know is that even if you change your eating behaviors and start exercising and don't lose a single pound, you are drastically improving your health prospects. So I think when people try to lose weight and don't see the scale move, they get really discouraged and go back to what they were doing before. But just because the scale doesn't move does not mean that what you're doing is not having an effect on your health.
And one more, let's do something on exercise, Yuna.
Okay, exercise, you guys, exercise is my passion in life. I hated it for so long, and I realized the reason I hated it is because I always thought of it as a punishment. Like, exercise is my way to undo what I've eaten. And when you change your mindset around exercise and find a way to make it empowering, I love going to the gym because it makes me feel so strong and confident. And I think for women especially, do not be afraid to be strong. It is not unfeminine to be strong. And I don't know why I have to say that message in 2023, but unfortunately, it is something I feel like I have to say a lot.
All right. So again, we're speaking with Yuna Jada and Dr. Eddie Phillips. They are co-hosts of the podcast Food We Need to Talk, which is now a book, The Science-Based Humor-Laced Last Word on Eating, Diet, and Making Peace with Your Body. So Eddie, I'm going to turn to you here. You also teach physical medicine and rehabilitation at Harvard Medical School. You founded the Institute of Lifestyle Medicine at Boston's Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital. I want to come local here. What research are you seeing locally that can make a difference in our understanding of our bodies, of what's healthy, what's not healthy, concepts around obesity, nutrition? What are we as a greater Boston community contributing to our understanding right now that you find interesting?
So I'll go a little bit historic here. Back at the early 20th century, Walter Cannon characterized stress in a lab at Mass General Hospital. And then it was a number of decades later that Dr. Herbert Benson went into the same lab, and he looked at the not just the stress response, but the relaxation response. So Dr. Cannon did the fight or flight, which we're all familiar with. And then it took Dr. Herbert Benson, with a lot of gumption on his part, to actually study people who were meditating and to show that if we just do a couple of minutes, 10 minutes of measured breathing twice a day, we can measurably improve our health. We now show, and this, some of this is done locally, that the epigenetics
What does that word mean?
So the genes that you have from mom and dad, you can complain about them, but you can't do much about them. Epigenetics is the expression of the genes.
And I still don't know what that means. I do because I read the book, but okay. I'm trying to help us sort of draw this out.
Meaning that by doing just a modicum of measured breathing twice a day, evoking the relaxation response, you can actually get the better, healthier genes to turn on and the less healthy genes to turn off. I'll make it as simple as possible. And you could fill in whatever it is about cancer genes, et cetera. And we have complete control over that. And it doesn't take long. And it's just a few minutes that you can do. And that research was local. Hmm. And now the genetic research where Dr. Benson, who passed away last year, would come and his predecessors will show healthy genes turning on and the unhealthy ones turning off in the group that did a little bit of meditation. So that strikes me as just brilliant and simple and actionable.
And so that is literally, Eddie, sit down, take a few minutes, breathe, and focus on your breathing.
Pretty much.
And yes. Something that simple can have that healthy an impact
and it's been shown,
on your well-being.
Yes.
We're just going to let that sit there for a second.
Taking a breath.
We're all just going to breathe here for a second. Just take that in.
I've been in front of audiences and I have 30 seconds to calm them down and I'll do it. Let's all take the deepest breath of the day right now.
There we go. So, Yuna, I'll turn to you here. You know, one of the things that is interesting in our public discussion right now are the pills. Right, these new medicines. So we've got Ozempic, we've got Wegovy. These are the diabetes treatments that have been found to curb overeating. There's a medical dimension to this. There's a cultural dimension to this. On the podcast, Food We Need to Talk, you had Dr. Shauna Levy, who's a general surgery and obesity physician from Tulane, to talk about this. Here's a little bit of sound.
Ozempic and Wegovy quiets the hunger noise that's in your head that's like, eat it, eat it, eat it. It's okay. It's mm-hmm. okay. It's fine. It's fine. And while Ozempic and Wegovy are helpful for treating binge eating disorder, they are not the treatment for binge eating disorder.
Okay. So a couple of things I want to unpack. Well, I'll come to the medical piece with you, Eddie, in a second. And Yuna, I also want to note that there is a very thoughtful treatment in the book about eating disorders, the specifics mm-hmm. of things like bulimia and anorexia. My question to you is, in this space where there is this push towards people not on the diabetes threshold, mm-hmm. also trying to obtain these medications mm-hmm. in order for a quick weight loss fix, and lots of questions about, do you have to stay on this medication for life? How does it affect your body, et cetera? Mm-hmm. How are you perceiving the cultural moment we're in with these kind of miracle pills?
It is a difficult moment, I think, for everyone in the sense that there are people that actually really need this medication. And so not confusing those people with the others who might be taking it just to lose the extra 10 pounds to fit into whatever, a size 2 dress. There are two separate conversations to have, right? And I think one of the things you have to keep in mind with the medications is that you do have to be on them for the rest of your life for them to have the effect they have. And that I think it kind of obfuscates the idea of healthy eating and exercise, because so often we think of weight loss as the reason to eat healthy and exercise. And so if you get this weight loss without actually having to really change how you eat and having to exercise, then what is the reason for a lot of people to care about what they eat and to actually move, right? And so the thing I worry about the most is, I guess, people taking the medication, seeing the weight loss, and then not really caring about the food or their exercise, which is actually probably more important even than their weight in terms of their long-term health.
You lose the whole healthful dimension.
Exactly, yeah.
Eddie, what do you want to add there?
Just that, first off, most of these are not pills. They actually require an injection.
Okay, that's good to know.
And so once a week, you have to do it. And if you want to start in 2023, let's plan for the rest of your life to keep on doing it. I think I would pick up again on what Yuna is talking about, that the kind of healthy behaviors we're talking about are not just about weight loss. It's about reaching your potential as a human. It's about finding your purpose and meeting it. It's about getting stronger, because it's really cool to be stronger and old age is going to be a lot nicer. The pills are not going to give you all of that. These injections are not going to give you all of that. There's aspects of health that we talk about, which is community. that is something that you work on. That's not, and the meditation, you're not going to get that from the shot. So we want to, and if you're eating so little, there are some people whose appetites are just extinguished. We also want to make sure that you're getting good quality and sufficient food to nourish your body.
So, Eddie, one of the ways that the book goes at eating disorders is a conversation between you and your daughter. And that, as a parent, that was tough to read. What made you decide to, you and she decide to share that as a way to help people explore that subject?
So I'll give you a tiny bit of backstory, which is my daughter was diagnosed with anorexia shortly before I met Yuna. So we were sort of wrestling with that as a family. And then when I was introduced to Yuna and sort of picked up on there's something going on here, that's a little bit what drew Yuna and I together, because I can practice having conversations with Yuna as we dance on the third rail of emotions that I just can't have as easily at home. So that's a little bit of backstory. The way the book is written, many of the chapters are authored primarily by Yuna, and then I sort of respond. So I thought, I'll put together a couple of paragraphs about my daughter's anorexia. And then I thought, I should ask her about this. And we got into a life-changing conversation. And it expanded into a full chapter. And the story continues. So that's and it reflects not just her journey, but here I am as a parent. I'm a physician. My wife is a physician. We eat so healthy at home. Maybe we're eating too healthy. Maybe that's gone awry. You know, how did she? How guilty am I? How much? I'll give you just a little out she gave us. You know, she has a brother and sister who don't have eating disorders. So that's where we came to.
Yeah, and I appreciate you sharing it both here and in the book. The last question is to you, Yuna. We've got about 30 seconds left. Are you at peace?
I am constantly working on my peace, but peace is always a work in progress, I think. Peace is a practice.
All right. Yuna Jada and Dr. Eddie Phillips are the co-hosts of the podcast Food We Need to Talk. The book now comes out tomorrow, and I want to thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. And come see us at our live event Thursday.
Where is it?
Lululemon on Newbury Street. You can go on our website and check out the tickets.